I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about dynasty. Lately, this word dynasty just seems to be jumping off me on the page. As I'm reading through the book of 1 Kings, talking about Solomon, we see back in the life of David, where God promises to build him a dynasty. And just been thinking about this a little bit. So we're going to be asking God today. We feel like he's got something he's trying to show us about this. Just asking him for wisdom and insight into what he's trying to show us with this word dynasty today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, doing things my own way. But life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. At the time, I was running my personal training business, and my business was very up and down. I got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. I just had the weight and stress and pressure of the business on me. My life is way out of balance. And I remember getting to the place of just going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood, telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. It wasn't for a lack of seeking and searching, because I've been traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts in the world, reading books, taking courses, going to seminars, not just health and fitness, but all other areas of life, like relationships and finance and business and leadership. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. And then one day I came across a challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And then you keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over again. And after a while of doing this, one morning I came across Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing we could pass on to future generations? The Bible tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. Seeking after wisdom. And actually, as I'm thinking about it, God promised to build David a dynasty, and that his son Solomon would be a key piece, and that he would establish Solomon's throne as a key piece of that dynasty. And what did Solomon ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom to pass on an inheritance. Part of this is a dynasty. So I began to think about that. I began to make a commitment. I want to pass on manuals, lessons, teaching for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances. But when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek after God, began to totally immerse myself in the things of God. He began to show up and teach me and train me, taught me this new way of living. We'll make him the source of anything, of everything. Put him right in the center of it. That wasn't always easy all the time, because I had to learn how to do things in a different way. Had to unlearn some things, break free of some old patterns. And at times I found myself in some impossible looking situations, only to see God to show up and come through over and over again. And over the course of about 10 years of just documenting and recording my journey, it turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with a series of books and courses and now partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Has the ability to just turn things around, change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to remember his sacrifice, to remember our covenant with God. Because it can get easy to forget. When we face issues and troubles, it can become easy to forget, to slip back into our old pattern sometimes. Communion helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he suffered, all that he went through for us. But on the other side, we remember what his sacrifice did for us, what it means for us today, our covenant with God. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to make us healthy and strong and give us long life if we take it the right way. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise and to apply our faith. So let's get started with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Because our relationship with God has got to be brought down into today to impact every area of our lives. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some fun and some energy into them today. But before we go through our fundamentals, let's remember God's got a process. When he took the people from Egypt to the promised land, they didn't just go straight there. They had to learn this new way of living. When we make God the source, God the center of it, we look at what he can do rather than what we can do in our own strength. For them to step into their promised land, the promises that he had for them, the inheritance that he had, they had to learn to do things a different way. And I think it just simply takes believing that God's got something better for our life, better than we can ever ask or dream or think or imagine, being willing to move forward because we're looking at what he can do, not what we can do. In the example in the Bible, when people are in the wilderness, they want to go back to the way things used to be. They're not willing to move forward with God. Then they cross over to the other side. They got to cut some ties with old ways, learn how to rest and trust in God, and allow God to unfold things in his perfect timing, his beautiful timing. We inherit the promises through faith and patience. God's got to do some work to beautify us, and he'll do that work if we just allow him. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we've got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. Just thinking about lately, I was just hearing some verses talking about, I believe it's from 1 John, talks about when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God, fellowship with people. One of the big signals of that, we got fellowship. And how we're going to do that, we're going to start with humility. When we get into pride, we lose our fellowship. Starting with humility, it's the humble who are exalted and promoted, the humble who are given grace. And we're going to take our position in forgiveness, receiving forgiveness from God, forgiving ourselves in the middle, walking in grace and forgiveness with other people, taking our position in love today. Walking in the light is to walk in love, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrong, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And I'm going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. In Christ, God has taken everything that he has and he put it all in Christ. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. We have access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. There's health and energy for today, purpose and grace, time, resources, finances. It's all available to be received and get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit or the result of it in our life. So our first step is to get in position. Our second fundamental is to magnify the light. We're going to turn up the brightness of this. To magnify the light, we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart, where we become more fixed and consistent and immovable. A lot of these verses you see in the Old Testament where God talks about he's going to establish a dynasty for David. You see this word secure and established. We got to get established in this new covenant in our heart. We become consistent in it. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Lately, we've talked about the concept of two baskets on a balancing scale. One basket full of all the issues and pressures and testings of life. The other basket full of our praise. Which one are we going to put our focus and attention into? Which one are we going to meditate on? Which one are we going to fill up with our thoughts and our words? As we talk about them and think about them, which basket are we going to fill up? To magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Just pick scriptures, just be rolling them over and over on the inside. We can praise him for his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works. For our righteousness in Christ, we've got peace with God. For every good thing that he put within us and all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our life. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Simply into choosing to focus on the other basket, to magnify God as bigger than those issues and pressures and problems, and to rest and trust in him because we trust that he can solve those problems a whole lot better than we can. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, insisting on our own way, venting and complaining and criticizing rather than filling up that basket of praise. Stay in position and gratitude and praise and humility. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or we're focused on the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. We might isolate ourselves, and on the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck, and it seems like there's no way out. And all that weight and pressure on the inside just drains the energy right out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, frustration. We're envisioning all these worst-case scenarios in the future, dreading things in the future. And unfortunately, this can become a pattern. This can become a habit where we get stuck in these loops, these vicious cycles that become very hard to break. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's fullness and completeness in him. There's fellowship with God and people. Broken fellowship is one of our biggest indicators, I think, as I've thought about it. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. And all those good things he put in Christ just begin to flow. Feel like you're in the flow state, like this flow is just going on in your life. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, just takes a moment to turn it right back around, get back in the light again. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. And then we walk in grace and forgiveness to other people. If we need to say we're sorry or forgive somebody, we take those steps. Then we start praising and magnifying him for his grace and his goodness. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it, see it flowing at a greater level in my life today. You pray that simple prayer, that weight just lifts off you. Everything begins to flow again. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. We've been talking about lately, whatever you begin to magnify, when we begin to magnify the light, it also begins to amplify our ability to hear more clearly from God. We've got to stay tuned into him because every day he's trying to teach us and navigate us. And lately we've talked about, my favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And we start with installing what we call some filters at the top of that journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe one word, maybe just a short statement that we keep rewriting every day in our journal as a way to reinforce God's standards, his way of doing things into our life. So it might look something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase, that short statement helps to navigate us throughout the day when issues and pressures and problems arise. Keep us focused on him. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify, what went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up? Because the more we magnify them, the more of them you're going to see. And I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. And then we're going to stay connected to him. We're going to stay tuned in throughout that day, magnifying him, amplifying him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get reconnected back to him, charged up, powered up in him. And then our fourth fundamental, we've got to do what we know to do today. The final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Now notice there's two parts to that. What do I know to do? And then is this for today? Sometimes God shows us things to do, but it's not for today just yet. What do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm taking action on things that I don't quite know what to do just yet. The grace isn't there, and I'm getting out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. It's easy to just wait and procrastinate and put things off for another day sometimes. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. Then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very first words we see God speak. Let there be light. So those are the very first words that I speak every morning now. It's amazing how just such a simple little thing, let there be light, brings a different energy into the day, sets the tone for the whole day. Then we start praising and magnifying him, get connected with him and his word. And we start walking out that plan together in partnership with him, full confidence that he's right there with us every step of the way, willing and obedient, a willing heart, taking action on those things that we know to do. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these good and perfect gifts into our life from above. These beautiful solutions. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our life. Let's talk about dynasty. Here's a couple scriptures that I had. So typically when I read my Bible, I just read it like a book, front to back. And lately, I've been reading through Samuel, 1 Kings, in that area, talking about the life of David and Solomon. And this word dynasty just keeps standing out to me. If you think about it, what have we been doing here? The one verse that started off for me, to leave an inheritance for your children's children. That has to do with dynasty. So 2 Samuel 2:27, David says, "For you, Lord of the heavenly armies, the God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, telling him, I will build a dynasty for you so that your servant has found the fortitude to pray this prayer to you." God was going to build the dynasty for him. David was going to do it. God was going to do it. Then in 1 Kings 2:24, Solomon says, "And now, as the Lord lives, the one who established me seated me on the throne of my father David, and made me a dynasty as he promised. So see, God begins to fulfill. I swear Adonijah will be put to death today. Then 1 Kings 9:5 says, then I will allow your dynasty to rule over Israel permanently, just as I promised your father David. You'll not fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So I feel like God's trying to show us something about this recently. So Heavenly Father, we're asking for wisdom and insight, understanding of just how you view dynasties, that you are the one who builds it. And we see here David. It took David a confident, bold, courageous prayer to ask him for this. Father, I feel like you're promising us that in Christ, there's a dynasty there. And we're asking for you to build us a dynasty. Not for us to do it, but for you to do it. And we're asking for your help with that today. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm just thinking, what is a dynasty? It's just something that continues more than one generation. Just continues on and on. I think God wants to see that continuity in our lives. If we take our position in Christ, he wants to build this dynasty where it just continues on and on from one generation to the next. Looking at this bread here, just remember, God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, doing life on our own without him, separated from him for eternity. But he chose to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself, even unto death on a cross, to be rejected and betrayed, spit on, mocked, ridiculed, hit, whipped, nailed to a cross. And he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath, all of God's anger and frustration with humanity is poured onto the body of Jesus. He was crushed by God. He was destroyed by God. He became sin for us. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight, connects us back to God. We have peace with God all through his one sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. You know, these verses about David and Solomon. You read in the deeper meaning, I think he's really talking about Christ. He's going to establish the throne of Jesus. He's going to build a dynasty through Jesus. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in Christ. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness. He transfers us into the light. He cleanses us, makes us clean through his blood. We can have this covenant relationship, this blood sworn oath that God is with us. He's for us. He's working continually for our good. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. Health and fitness stuff. There's going to be some days in your workouts, the low days. Days when you're tired, days when you don't feel like doing it, days when just for whatever reason, you don't have the energy, you don't feel in the mood to do it, who knows what. And an important thing is keeping the habit, not just skipping it, but keeping the habit, number one. And I like to always ask this question, what can you do? What can you do? Maybe you can't do your normal weights. Maybe you can't do the full workout, but what can you do? And do that as a way to keep the habit. And it's a way to help us to learn to trust and rely on God more, to allow Him to do that work. Sometimes on a low day, it can be one of your best days. On a day when you thought you weren't going to be able to do much, it can be one of your best days as we learn to trust and rely on Him. What can you do? Get started. Take that first step to get started. Then what can you do? Take a humble approach. All right, what can I do today? But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.